About 5 minutes after 2 in the afternoon, present at the table are Senators Sharp and Pierce, along with Senator Torgerson, Senator Adams, Senator Parnell, and Senator Phillips. We will continue our closeout of the operating budget this afternoon. We have before us House Bill 75 and House Bill 76. And the four budgets that we'll take this afternoon in order, Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, then the university, and we'll go back to commerce, and then close out education, and then we'll do the front section. Senator Torgerson.
Thank you, Madam President. I would move dot plus number 1.
There's a motion. dot plus number 1. Is there objection?
Just object for a minute just to look at the amendment.
I can explain it if you like, Madam
Torgerson.
President. This is an addition of $75,000 back into internal review for items that was described in the Commissioner's letter of impacts. This was determined to be needed to meet some federal requirements in that department. It also adds back in $62,500 from the International Airport Revenue Funds that required for an annual audit of the airport fund.
Just a question?
Everything in general.
Yeah.
Does this cover all the money that is needed for the internal review?
Senator Torgerson.
If you're asking me, yes.
You should ask somebody else.
Adams. Maintain your objection, Senator Adams. Is there any objection to Amendment Number 1, dot puff? Hearing none, Amendment Number 1, dot puff, has been adopted unanimously. Senator Torgerson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I have moved dot puff Number 2. I might as well explain it. This adds amendment adds back in, reinstates the position of a transportation planner in the Marine Highway component.
$78,500. Senator Sharp.
Madam Chair, through the Chair, is this the only planner they'll have, or do they have more?
Senator Torgerson.
Or did they tell you?
the original document showed 28 planners within the department, and I don't remember what the... It didn't. We never took them all out. At best, we only...
28 planners, at least Alec, authorized in Marine Highway?
Mr. Sharp, any further questions?
This does not... They have more than the one planner. But I don't know the exact number. I don't...
Is there objection to dot puff amendment number 2? Hearing none, the amendment has been adopted unanimously.
Madam Chairman, I move dot puff 3.
Sounds like a movie.
Amendment number 3 has been moved. Is there objection?
It strikes back.
I'll explain. This might be the most hardest amendment to follow. What this does, Madam Chairman, the subcommittee recommendations was to eliminate this statewide informational services and to take the money that was currently allocated or positions that were currently in the regions and leave those in those regions. And what this amendment does is take that money back out of the regions and reinstates the BRU and then adds in money. The amount of $664,000 that was reflected in the impact statement that we received, and the laundry list of things we're adding back in is shown on the bottom of the amendment.
The objection to Dot Path Amendment Number Three. Senator Adams.
While the senator is making these amendments, how much of the $11 million are we capturing with these amendments? That's, you know, that's one I think that that keeps popping up. As normally what they want to do is capture as much federal funds as they can. That question was asked in your amendments.
Senator Torgerson.
Madam Chairman, I believe each amendment has what we're putting back in. I don't have a total on the package.
Okay. But I just wanted to note that we might have to address it once we put the total package together. We're not trying to keep up with this at the same time.
The objection to Dot Path Amendment Number Three. Senator Sharp?
Just trying to do some quick calculation. We're putting $697 back in for the statewide component, and adding back another $664. So we got about $1,360,000, $1,370,000, and we started out, so that's a reduction of just of a couple hundred thousand bucks from governor's requested. It looks less than that, less than $200,000. I forgot what the total was, man. I'm sure I found it. Thank you.
Is there further objection to Amendment Number Three? Hearing none, Dot Path Amendment Number Three has been adopted. Senator Torgerson.
I move Dot Path Four. What Dot Path Four is doing is reinstating administrative clerks in the reservations component of Marine Highways and also one traffic manager.
And the funding source on this, Senator Torgerson?
Is would be the Marine Highway capitalization is what the source would be.
Just checking. Is there objection to Dot Path Amendment Number Four? Hearing none, Dot Path Amendment Number Four has been adopted. Senator Torgerson.
I move Number Five. Number five is also an add-on back to the Marine Highway Capitalization Fund. This adds back in 82.5, which is the amount needed for the naval architect position.
82.5
or 82.0, I'm sorry.
I don't want to give them any more money than they need.
Okay.
The objection to Dot Path Amendment Number Five.
This does not put in the staff, the administrative staff that is needing the help, is it? Like the clerk. I think the clerk is missing out. That's good.
Senator Donnelly, did you have a question?
Staff shaking. Don't know. I've never sat on this budget, and I don't know what the naval architect does.
Why we need them? They build battleships.
Naval architect position. I had the same thought when I went through the budget, and it was originally in the budget as $120,000 for this position. The naval architect turns out to be more as a marine surveyor, I suppose might be the more technical term, but he basically certifies the weights of the ships, passenger ratings, and gross tonnage that the ship can carry. And also has a lot to do with reading the federal laws and bringing up, advising the deputy commissioner as to what federal laws might be coming down.
Further discussion? Is there objection to Dot Path Amendment Number Five? Hearing none, it has been adopted. Excuse me. Senator Adams.
Number six.
Move Number Six, Madam Chair.
Object.
There is objection. Senator Adams.
Basically, what I'm doing is putting things back in general funds programs that I think that needs to go to the statewide programs. I appreciate the amendments by the member, but I think it doesn't go far enough, and I'm putting 440 back in the statewide programs, and that's why I'm offering this amendment.
Senator Torgerson.
It looks to me like you're adopting the governor's numbers 100% with a small reduction, not putting back just 440.
Basically, what it does, it works to capture most of the federal funds, because I haven't had a chance to analyze how much of the federal funds we're not getting to, and I think it's very important that we need some of these positions.
Further discussion? Are we ready for the question? All those in favor of Amendment Number 6, please raise your hand. All those opposed? Motion fails on a 1-6 vote, with Senator Adams being the affirmative vote. Would the committee stand at ease for just a moment, please?
I move number 7, Madam Chair.
Objection. Hearing no objection, DOTSUS Amendment Number 7 has been adopted.
Good job, Mel.
It's going to cost you.
Senator Donnelly.
Move number 8.
Okay, what does this mean?
The objection to DOTSUS Number 8.
How about Bagos Street or?
No.
Tudor. Okay.
Senator Sharp.
Looks like these are more construction oriented, but maybe I'm CIP oriented. But I guess it doesn't hurt to have both places.
Well, these are the planning people.
Yeah.
I've got the planning people. What's left?
Senator Adams.
I've looked at it many times.
Their objection to Amendment Number 8? Amendment Number 8 has been adopted. Senator Donnelly.
Move Amendment Number 9.
The objection to Amendment Number 9, which is intent language.
Madam Chair.
Fine.
I believe with the re-election of the election of Obama, we won't need this.
We'll see you Wednesday.
The objection to DOTSUS Number 9. Hearing no objection, DOTSUS Number 9 is adopted.
I'm not going to offer Number 10.
Mm-hmm. Number 10 is not being offered. But Senator Donnelly.
Move Number 11.
Sure. On the board order.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Dowling. It's okay with you?
Their objection to Amendment Number 11. Amendment Number 11 has been adopted. Senator Torgerson.
I move DOTSUS 12. Just as a brief explanation, this was my community road program that I was trying to hang on to, but I added back in 1,432.1. So to keep our caps and to maintain what co-chair has given us to obtain, I'm offering this up.
The objection to DOTSUS 12, Senator Phillips.
Not really. John, could you refresh me what this money is going to be used for now?
Well, my intent that it either be allocated out as to under Title 29 revenue sharing to the municipalities, or it would be used to bring up certain roads to specifications for transfer to local governments.
No objection.
Hearing no objection to Amendment Number 12, that has been adopted. I have no further amendments.
13.
I like your idea.
You have a 13?
19.
Senator Torgerson.
Who's? Senator Torgerson.
I've moved DOTSUS 13. It's a letter of intent language that basically just says that it's the intent of the legislature that these reductions caused by this budget will be spent in highway construction projects throughout the state.
Is there objection to DOTSUS Number 13, Senator Cornell?
Can you state that again? I'm not quite sure how you reduce something and spend it on construction.
into actual construction dollars. So the intent is that they wouldn't release this money back to the federal government, that they would build a few more sections and miles of road.
Instead of turning it back to federal government, use it to build.
Well, the departments went out and used the press very good, saying that they're going to turn all this money back, and it equate to $40 or $50 million returned in future years, which I don't share. I think they ought to just build some roads that are designed, and that was what this all this argument was about to begin with. So this is just I probably need to work on that intent language, but that was the best I could do in the time allowed it.
The objection, adopt PUF 13. The objection has been adopted. Any further adopt PUF amendments? Adams?
Chairman of the subcommittee has made some amendments, and basically I just wanted to reserve, when we bring the budget back before full committee, that I have the opportunity to also present an amendment, maybe to make some corrections on capturing the I'd like to make that statement so I can look at it one more time there.
Thank you, Senator Adams.
Madam Chairman, just as a comment, I don't object to that, but I've asked the Commissioner to give us some numbers that we can use in design and construction of what our future projects might be, and we still have not gotten anything back, except for, so far, I got a little sticky note that talks about $50 million more, but I don't have anything else to base any factual information on. If we go by the testimony before this committee as to what design and construction might be, we probably didn't go far enough in reductions. But if we're talking about, this says 50 to 60 million more, then we probably need to revisit that. So I don't mind, as long as there's some numbers to work off of that are more than sticky notes. Thank you.
Yeah, and same thing. That's why I didn't want to impression that I didn't want to.
Well, maybe you can get more out of them than I can, but they just haven't supplied any, Senator Adams. So.
And if you want to. Senator Phillips?
If you don't mind, is there anybody from DOT here?
Nancy, would you like to join us?
You want to reaffirm the sticky note?
Actually, well, it was a press release from Senator Stevens' office that I saw. Yes, I want to identify yourself for the record, please.
I'm Nancy Slagle. I'm Director of Administrative Services for the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. It's what we, the Commissioner had provided was a copy of an email message from, or an update from Washington, which had some proposals for what may happen with reauthorization of ICE-T, and Senator Stevens' support for that, the increased dollar amount that would be provided to the state, to all of the states. Tom Brigham is here, and he is more intimately involved with that area.
Tom Brigham, DOT Statewide Planning. Senator Stevens has basically been silent on the transportation reauthorization issue for some time. And just a few days ago, he indicated the reason that he did not sign on with other senators who were suggesting that the amount spent on the Federal Transportation Act per year be raised from $20 to $26 billion was that he didn't think $26 billion was enough. We think this is significant, given that Senator Stevens will also be one of the bulwarks in balancing the federal budget in that effort. If, in fact, the federal share goes from $20 to $26 billion, it means that, and we maintain the same percentage of the overall program that we have now, it means we'll wind up with an extra $60 million a year. The result, given Senator Stevens' position in Congress, the result of that is simply that we're a lot more bullish on the prospects of additional federal funding with the new legislation.
Further questions? Senator Phillips.
Basically, it's guesswork. Well, you don't have the bird in hand.
Reduce.
We've spotted several more birds in the bush, I think, is what you're saying.
That's my worry.
Yeah, we, obviously, no one knows until the act is, is signed, but Stephen's position was crucial, frankly, and this is important.
Would the possible 60 extra million be, in addition, be built from last year's level or from the expected lower level that 2 months ago we thought we were going to get?
That's cutting it a little finer, Madam Chairman, than I think we can predict. But if you simply take somewhere in between there and say it's about 200 million, it's a little less than we've gotten in the best years of ICE-T, a little more than we're getting in 97. Add 60 to that, that's still a substantial, that's 260 million federal, which is a substantial boost from where we are now.
How do the actual mechanics work? Does the legislature have to appropriate the match before the dollars themselves flow, but can they be allocated by Alaska somehow in the federal system and we don't get the check until we appropriate funds, or how does that work?
The way it works basically is we spend the money up front, including it's all state money originally, and then we're reimbursed for 90% of it. So we would amend the STIP to take into account the larger program. We would ask for legislative authority for those additional projects, whatever they would be, moved up from 99 into 98. And normally the federal government assumes that the match ratio on this is so favorable that if we put it in the STIP, we have the expectation that the state match would be forthcoming. That's obviously the way we've operated in the past.
Senator Donnelly.
I keep hearing that we have all these design projects that we don't have enough federal funds to actually build. So why wouldn't this money just go to the backlog of projects that are already designed, and we wouldn't have a problem then facilitating its usage?
I think we would, among those we would recommend would be a number that have already been designed, because they obviously have to be delivered in 98, and any project of any complexity that hasn't been started isn't going to be done in 98. So many would be, Senator Donnelly.
Oh. Further comments, questions? Thank you very much. Any further amendments right now on DOTPA? That takes us to the university. Senator Adams, university number one, please.
Yes, ma'am. First of all, I'll move that the university budget be incorporated in 75. Doing it my way.
Hearing no objection, it has been incorporated.
Madam Chair, I'm going to not offer number one. I'm hoping that the university would work with the chairman of information technology. Even though I disagree with the way we did it the other day, I believe that basically we should just see how much instructional computer and technology is there, and I believe that number should be 260,000, less than the number than we gave them, or more than we gave them the other day. And so I just wanted the university to have that. Chairman, that is why I'm not offering that amendment, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I told the committee I would bring the this particular item to the table. I will not be offering the amendment. However, I would like it up for consideration. Maybe some other member from this particular table can offer this amendment. It is the money that has been taken out of agriculture from science and technology in the amount of $530,000. But what this amendment does is basically has the university absorb this particular program instead of getting the funding source from science and technology. And I have a commitment to bring this amendment forth It's up to the committee to make that decision on this one, Madam Chair. What is your decision?
My decision? Mr. Adams, I can't move amendments. Senator Sharp?
Looking for a designated hitter.
I guess my question is, Senator Adams, through the chair, if he knows, is the $530,000 in the other body's budget for the university? It is. Actually, I have a question.
We made some amendments yesterday to DNR's budget that I thought was fixing a lot of this problem. That was out of the revolving loan fund. That apparently isn't the case. Or is that the case?
No, separate research and separate items that this helps. And we can, what we will do, Representative Ferguson, is for you in the next day to get the difference on what the dollars do in ag do in DNR versus the university. So we have a side by side.
Maybe we might offer it then tomorrow.
Senator Sharp.
I just know that Senator Green has an interest in this too, and I has more detail than I have in my mind, so I'll get with her on that then.
We will have another opportunity at this that we'll close out, and I just wanted to bring it to the members' attention.
Today. Senator Donnelly, number three.
Mark. Number three? Oh, I'd move number three. Get language.
Objection to amendment number three. Hearing none, university number three has been adopted. And Senator Sharp.
Madam Chair, I did it. Senator Green, as you can see, wanted me to look at this. It was removed and put in a separate BRU or component within the University Fairbanks total. And she would like to see it moved on up, as you can see, a separate component. Statewide, moved to statewide services. I've talked at where it used to be, apparently, but I've got assurances that there has never been any deviation or diversion of funds from the items or from the budgeted areas, and it serves 11 other locations. There's never been a squabble on the allocation, and I wouldn't think that it would be a problem in the future. So I'm not going to move the amendment.
Okay.
Strong.
Are there further university amendments? Senator Sharp?
But if there is, we'll really look at it next year. Promise is promise.
She's right back there. Wendy's back there.
Wendy is writing that down.
No, I'll talk to her about it.
Okay. Let's go back to Commerce. Does everybody still have their spreadsheet for the Economic Development Subcommittee that we handed out last evening? Silly question. Do you have copies? Why don't we take an Eddie's and we'll get new copies made? Guy Bell, join us at the table.
I'm not going to question anybody vote on that.
There is a proposal for the Office of Tourism and ATMC. I would note on your spreadsheet, if you'll look at the second page of the spreadsheet, see on third line down, television advertising. If you'll go over to Senate Finance Subcommittee under the General Fund's other line, and it's 249.1, it should be 248.4, a $700 mistake. And then that $700 reduction would be taken in the GF other totals throughout the section. But does everybody have that corrected number? Jerry, you and Mike have it? Okay. With that, Mr. Bell, Mr. Garrett.
Madam Chair, my name is Guy Bell. I'm the Director of Administrative Services for the Department. I guess I'll just walk the committee through these two spreadsheets, beginning with the first one entitled the Division of Tourism, which I guess in the new BRU is the Office of Tourism. I'll do my best to try to explain these changes. Beginning with staff, the first reduction is in a research and planning position, loss of one full-time position. There's a conversion of publications specialist, just the last of the staff positions listed, fully to interagency receipts, which means that we will have to charge entirely for the cost of that position to other divisions and agencies. There's a 10% proposed reduction in travel. Under contractual services, all of our overseas contracts are reduced in unrestricted general fund by 10%. Under Tourism North, the program isn't affected by this, but there is intent and a $250,000 designated GF reduction to effectively privatize the production of Tourism North, which means that the department would contract with a third-party vendor to sell the ads and produce the advertisements and produce the Tourism North publication. There's some other miscellaneous changes, but under research, we're showing a zero budget for the research component of the Division of Tourism. And then there is a $250,000 research item in the governor's capital budget to funded with ADA dividend money to cover the cost of the Alaska Visitor Statistics Program, which hasn't been done in several years, and we're hoping that would be considered. There's a 50% reduction in supplies, and finally the grants to the Alaska Public Lands Information Centers for Anchorage and Fairbanks, which are worth $38,000 in the governor's budget, are now zero. This does keep the Tok Visitor Center at the governor's proposed budget level, which is what the state's APLIC, the state-funded APLIC.
Senator Phillips.
I have three items here. First, I'll start with Tok Visitor Center. Is that going to be open 7 days a week during the tourism, or is it selected hours?
Senator Phillips, that under this proposal, it would be open 7 days a week. It would continue to be open 7 days a week from 8 in the morning until 8 at night.
Okay, and then Tourism North, you're going to privatize that out. And I'm looking down at right in the middle, the second Tourism North line. If you look over towards the right on the GF Other, it's $206,000. Is that a part of that, the Yukon's contribution, and what is that, 150 or 100?
Senator Phillips, it's $100,000, and the rest of it is receipts from, we're hoping to receive from British Columbia.
Hoping, or are you going to get it?
Well, Tom can explain it better than I can, but BC has gone through some transition in its tourism program and did not contribute this last year to Tourism North, but there's strong interest, apparently, in hope that they will contribute next year.
Yeah, but the Yukon's committed their $100,000. I assume it's $100,000 U.S., right?
That's correct, Senator Phillips.
And in BC, obviously, you're still wondering what they're doing, right?
Yes, that is correct. They're on a different budget year, fiscal year. They're on a fiscal year beginning April 1, and then their people in northern British Columbia, particularly in the Stewart area, Peace River area, were quite upset with the decision by the provincial government, and they've beat them up pretty substantially, and it looks like they're going to come back in.
And then the second line for the TOPE Center, TOPE Visitor Center, can you explain that? That's the state GF, $52,000?
Senator Phillips, the contractual budget for the TOPE Visitor Center mm-hmm. is for rent mm-hmm. and heat, light, and that sort of thing. That's basically...
Well, that 52 represents?
Is the rent $42,000?
The rent is $42,000 of that.
And then... And what I don't see here, and I think Senator Sharp may have interest, is the Gold Rush Centennial. Where is that in the scheme of things here?
Senator Phillips, the Gold Rush Centennial doesn't exist as a separate budget
right.
item. What it does exist as is sort of an umbrella under which all of these programs are using the Gold Rush Centennial as their major marketing focus. Even the Alaska Tourism Marketing Council is working on advertising for next year that's going to do that. And so we've moved from sort of a working back behind the scenes work on the Gold Rush to taking it totally out front. We just broke a big full page ad in Travel and Leisure magazine through the Alaska Tourism Marketing Council focusing on the Gold Rush. And it's going to be very, very predominant. In fact, there's going to be a reception next Tuesday night at the museum over here, the City Museum. For the Gold Rush Centennial Task Force is going to be in town, and they're going to have on display all of the different promotional items that they've put together through the different agencies.
Then, would you like to go ahead and explain the ATMC?
Madam Chair, the first, which you have already mentioned, is the under television advertising. The governor had proposed an increment of $266,700, which this proposal would eliminate, which basically takes the television advertising component of ATMC to the fiscal year 97 level. The second item is under collateral production, which is the production of the Alaska Vacation Planner, total cost of $613,500. And this proposal is similar to the one for Tourism North, except the current idea is to, and the proposed intent that we took a look at would be to turn the production of the Vacation Planner over to the Alaska Visitors Association. And they're already are selling the advertisements for that. They would sell the advertisements and cover the cost of production of the Vacation Planner under this budget proposal. And then the final contractual reduction is a reduction in an item they call the ATMC calls miscellaneous contractual of $35,700. And then there's a very small reduction in equipment.
Questions about the ATMC component? Senator Donnelly?
Actually, it's not an ATMC component. Let's go back. If you had one, ATMC.
Questions on the ATMC?
A general question.
Senator Phillips?
Probably more. I don't know who can answer this. It looks like ATMC's total is about $4.666 million, right? Okay, using those figures, what percent is the industry contributing towards that?
Senator Pierce, Senator Phillips, the required match for ATMC would be about $1.3 million, just a hair more than one point. Is that right? Am I math right? No, $1.15 million.
1.5?
1.15
million, approximately.
Senator Donnelly.
Yeah, going back to contractual services and tourism, are these amounts integrated somehow with the Office of Trade for like the Japan and Korea offices?
Yes, Senator Donnelly, they are.
And with the money represented here, what would be the total going into the Japan and the Korea office?
Senator Donnelly, I believe the total budget trade for Japan is $240,000 and for Korea is $220,000 in the trade budget. So they're roughly equivalent in the trade budget.
Mr. Sharp.
Mr. Chair, will you run that back by me one more time on lateral production? Governor had $613,500. This shows zero. What is that again, and what is proposed here?
Senator Sharp, as it is right now, the ATMC covers the full cost of production of the Alaska Vacation Planner. This effectively, through the joint agreement with the AVA, this proposal would take that transfer production of the planner over to the AVA, and that cost would be borne through the sale of advertising in the vacation planner, and then that cost would count towards the industry's contribution to the ATMC budget, and then any additional revenue over and above the production cost would go toward the additional industry contribution required to meet the 25% match under the statute.
Okay. Mr. Donnelly.
This plan has the Alaska Film Office under staff, and then it also has under contractual services the film office. Film office. Could you explain what appears in two spots?
Yes, Senator Donnelly. The staff position in the Alaska Film Office is a clerical position in Anchorage. And the contractual services budget for the film office is to cover contractual cost publications, productions that the film office would continue to provide. I should point out that there is a decrement in the governor's budget to reduce the film office. There was previously, in addition to the clerical position under staff, a professional position, a development specialist. And in contractual services, on top of the $50,000, there was an additional $77,000. Both of those items were reduced in the governor's budget.
Senator Donnelly, did you have another comment or question?
Is there any other?
Senator Parnell.
On that issue, what was the governor's total request on the film office? Personal services and contractual.
Senator Parnell, that would be $89,300. And Tom, correct me. Plus 15 in travel, which what makes it $104,300.
Right. That includes contractual as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So 130. Sorry, what was the total again?
$104,300.
Okay. Mr. Sharp. It doesn't show what last year was. Do you happen to know offhand?
So I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
Film office, I see.
No. FY97.
If the $104,300, which is in the budget, plus the $157,300 decrement, produces a budget last year, by my count, of $261,600.
Any further questions? Senator Donnelly, we actually need a motion on this one because we've never incorporated it. Senator Donnelly.
Move to adopt the sheet before us with a couple changes. First of all, the vision of tourism at the top of the page should read Office of Tourism.
Yeah,
And on the Korea line item, my motion would, instead of the 20.8 that appears under Korea, would be for 28.1, continuing the governor's proposal. But with those two changes, I'd move to, and the change that was identified on the second page under television advertising, under 249.1, that was 248.1. Those three changes, I'd move its adoption.
Okay, we have a motion. Do you have an emergency? Okay, Senator Donnelly, could you repeat the second change to the Korea line, please?
First was to replace division with office. Second was to replace the 20.8 under the Korea line with 28.1. And
Senator Donnelly, is it your intent to bring the Korea line to the governor's total? Because if so, if you look at that, it was 23.1 GF and then the 5.
Yeah, that was my intent. So I guess the change would actually appear over where it says 25.8, that would be 28.1, and the 20.8 would be 23.1.
Okay, so on the Korea line, GF becomes 23.1. And the $700 change on television advertising on page 2 under ATMC that we've already said, and it's the office of, correct, Senator Donnelly?
Correct.
Okay, we have a motion before us. Is there objection to the motion? Senator Cornell?
No objection, Madam Chairman, but earlier Senator Donnelly indicated that the number on the second page for television advertising was being changed to 248.1. I think it's 248.4.
That's correct, 248.4.
Okay, that's what I've written here, 248.4. I'm sorry, I said it wrong.
Is there objection? Hearing none, that has been incorporated into the Department of Commerce budget. That then brings us to the Commerce Amendment. Senator Torgerson.
I would move Commerce number one.
I would object while you tell us what the Third Circumpolar Agricultural Conference is.
Thank you. I was hoping someone would ask. Madam Chairman, this is a conference. I'll read a little bit of this. An International Circumpolar Agriculture Conference, bringing producers and scientists and other resource leaders to the Arctic and subarctic regions around the world to discuss issues related to research, environmental policy, rural community development, and natural resource conservation. This conference will be the first time it's held in Alaska. It was Lieutenant Governor Coghill at the time had invited them to come here and at the same time had indicated there might be some support from the state of Alaska to help fund this. This $50,000 request is 25% of the total funding for the conference, or it's estimated to be that. And there have basically been many folks come down in February and maybe in March go forward, and so I told them I'd bring it forward for the committee's review.
Senator Torgerson, who is the actual sponsor? Is it a university sanctioned, or I guess who chooses what Alaskans go?
Well, my backup doesn't say. It says the state of Alaska is all. It's being held at the invitation of the state of Alaska, but it doesn't. All of my contacts have been through the agriculture community, so I assumed it was the Department of Natural Resources through Ag, but I'm not.
Has there been a request by any, to your knowledge, by any of the departments for the additional funds?
I'm not sure.
Further questions?
Madam Chair.
Senator Donnelly.
we're kind of at that point here where there's a couple other places in the budget I want to add money back into, some of the education issues, some of the public safety issues. I wish we could come back and talk about this after we've dealt with some of those. But the committee wants to deal with it now.
Further discussion? I would maintain my objection. Question is, shall Commerce Amendment Number 1 be adopted? All those in favor? All those opposed? By a 4-3 vote, the amendment is adopted. The affirmative votes were Senator Torgerson, Senator Sharp, Senator Adams, Senator Phillips. Senator Adams.
I move amendment number 2.
I would object. Is it Senator Adams?
Yes, ma'am. I believe this replaces one position there. We thought we had two vacant positions in that, but that was not so. The subcommittee chairman can speak to this one.
Senator Donnelly?
It just would be Senator Torgerson.
Oh, I'm sorry. Senator Torgerson, you're right. Commissioner's office?
What happened was a special assistant position hired by this reduction. We thought we had two positions up there. It was an error made.
Senator Torgerson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. What the committee adopted a reduction of this 84.8, basically on the information that this position was vacant. And the commissioner had, after the testimony or after the hearing, came up and said that indeed this position is not vacant. This person has been working in Ketchikan, I guess, for a while, and may not have actually been in juvenile, but the position is not vacant. I had indicated that I would, if that position wasn't vacant, that I would support putting the money back in. So I will stick with that and support putting it back in.
I remove my objection.
I would object to the amendment. Is there further discussion? All those members in favor of Commerce Amendment Number 2 signify by raising their hand. All those opposed? Motion fails and a 4-3 vote. The affirmative votes were Senator Adams, Senator Torgerson, Senator Donnelly. Senator Donnelly.
Madam Chair, I would move amendment number 3 with the committee's indulgence with the following addition. Add after the legal ask the film office, the legal film office 50,000 GF. That's where it appears in a contractual service. So we're moving all the money out of the Office of Tourism under this amendment and into the Office of Trade. So a new line here that would say delete film office 50,000 GF. So the total reduction under this amendment would be 89.3 from the Office of Tourism and then replacing that with 220 in the Office of Trade. Office of Trade.
Okay, does everybody understand the amendment? Commerce number 3. Is there objection to commerce number 3? Senator Phillips.
Just for a marker here, where are we on our total picture?
Our Exact dollar figure? No, I don't know. We'll have the draft tomorrow morning. They'll run it tonight. We'll have it in the morning.
Yeah, my problem is I hate to add something, but I don't know what to vote.
Well, I think the easiest way to look at that is that Senator Donnelly's cap for economic development was $3 million. And...
Now you know.
What, Senator Donnelly?
I was whistling.
And I'm trying to find my spreadsheet.
I didn't vote for it. I voted no.
It unfortunately. See, that's the problem. It doesn't. Because it's across. I don't know where
the change here. $4 million.
Do you have the last spreadsheet?
Good next to me.
Actually, we do have it.
Is it more than this?
Finance sanities.
The ad machine.
The grand total thing.
Okay. Senator Donnelly was given a $3 million cap for economic development. At the moment, after we accepted Senator Torgerson's amendment, the total reduction in economic development is $2,874.25.
Change.
Well, that's pretty close, Senator Donnelly.
He's 125,750 from the cap.
And then we're going to add another 200 and.
No, it's 140. 100 and. Because you're taking out 90 here and you're adding back in this, so it's 130. It'd be 130.
Your amendment number 3 would be 130?
Right.
And frankly, Senator Phillips, on an overall basis, I am not sure because I don't know what the total GF and GF, what the general fund results of Senator Torgerson's early amendments and dot plus actually are. So I'm just not sure. Yesterday, we were still running at about real close than a $500,000 either way of our caps with the exception of the university. So we're still certainly within that tolerance level.
Give and take 5%, right? For tolerance?
I don't think actually it's 5%.
I know. I just wanted a definition of tolerance.
Also.
Well, I said a $500,000. We're within a $500,000 either way.
We're in the House side, they got 260.
A little less than 5%. Okay, so.
Oh, they got 20.
What we have before us is Commerce Amendment Number 3. Senator Donnelly has moved the amendment. Is there objection to Commerce Amendment Number 3? Senator Sharp.
Where's the $50,000?
Senator Donnelly.
For the film office.
If you go to the
9,000,
if you go to this sheet here, Senator Sharp, there's 50 here, and there's 39. Oh, that was the oral amendment I made. It actually looks like this. Taking off these two and adding this one back.
So it gives them $300,000. Right?
No. It gives them 220. We're deleting this. Right. Yeah. It's a $130,000 GF increase.
Net
is about $130,000.
Is there objection to Commerce Amendment Number 3? Hearing none. Commerce Amendment number 3 has been adopted. Senator Donnelly.
Move intent language, Commerce number 4.
Your objection to intent language, Commerce number 4. Hearing none. Commerce number 4 has been adopted. You've been handed 2 additional amendments from Senator Sharp. The first one is Fish and Game number 15. Senator Sharp.
Madam Chair, I move Fish and Game number 15 with the explanation that it's more or less a technical amendment in that the amendment we made yesterday regarding the same topic, the $50,000 Hot was in headquarters fish management. It's in Southeast Region Fish Management. Federal that we move, wanted to move into the commissioner's office. Makes that correction on where the money actually was to be switched.
Fishing game number 15 has been moved. Is there objection? Hearing no objection, Fish and Game 15 has been adopted. There is also from Senator Sharp a Department of Law number 2. Senator Sharp.
I would move Department of Law number 2, which is also a technical amendment. So technical that I don't even understand it. it's suggested by my staff and Ledge Finance.
A trustee amendment, right?
Is there objection to law amendment number 2? Hearing no objection, amendment. Senator Donnelly, are you objecting?
Oh, no, I'm not objecting.
Hearing no objection, law number 2 has been adopted. Senator Donnelly.
At some point, Madam Chair, I'd like to reconsider Department of Public Safety Amendment number 7 by Senator Adams. In meeting with the department since yesterday, there was a shortage of funds here that was never brought to the attention of the subcommittee, and I do think it would be appropriate to address it with this amendment.
So you'd have to move to rescind that.
Why don't we go ahead and address that at this time?
EPS number 7. Apparently, the impact statement that was provided after this was closed, you know, virtually the day it was closed out, had a statement in there that in this month they are low on funds. They do anticipate a greater draw on funds in the Violent Crimes Compensation Program for this coming year. That information was never brought before the subcommittee, or else the subcommittee would have recommended a different course of action there. This would add back to the governor's amended request, and that's the Senator Adams number 7.
What was the original governor's request? Was it the lower number?
Right. The original request was what the subcommittee funded. The governor's amended request was an additional 168.
Senator Sharp.
And the amendment was, governor's amended was justified on why? Why was it amended?
They've run out of money this year. There's 3 months, virtually about 3 months left in the fiscal year, and they're out of money.
Senator Donnelly, there wasn't a supplemental request. What are they going to do?
I don't know. They should have had a supplemental request. You know, this is really frustrating for me because typically I call this program and ask them how they're doing every year. This is the first year I didn't take the initiative to call them because I found over the years that administrations, the executive branch, has inhibited them for asking for additional funds. And I think of all the programs we got out there, these are people who are actual innocent victims of violent crimes. And it's a very, you know, frugal program to boot. There's real strict caps on the total amount they can compensate these people for. And this year, I didn't take the initiative to call them and ask them. And for some reason, they never called us and asked for for help, and I wish they would have, because I would have strongly suggested that we give it to them.
Senator Donnelly, why was their 96 actual number so low beside their 97 authorized, and now their 96 actual shows at least it's only been having been $92,000?
I'm not sure. There's
Henley?
Ms. McConnell may be able to answer that.
For the record, Annalee McConnell, Director of the Office of Management and Budget. I did talk with our analyst yesterday after the questions raised by Senator Donnelly. The reason why we did put this in as a governor's amended request to add the $168,000, which is a result of recalculation on the permanent fund dividend amount. And I wasn't at the subcommittee meeting, so I can't speak to why it was that you didn't get updates on where the account was going this year. It is true there have been lapses sometimes additional lapses basically at the end. Some of this is obviously dependent on the flow of what happens with the cases. We provided the information to you as soon as we got that at OMB, which was just at the time of presenting the impact statement. So I had not been aware until then. We have not in any way inhibited the department from providing information or told them they cannot provide information about the increased caseload. As I say, as soon as I heard about that, we did present that impact on to you, and I can't say why it wasn't provided earlier. But it was our feeling, the reason we put it in as an amendment on top of the GF, as opposed to replacing GF, is that we think it makes sense under this program that if there's additional amount available, that should go both to this program and ditto for the Council on Domestic Violence. So,
my question is, why was it only $92,000 in fiscal year 96?
Why was what? Why was there still $92,000 left?
The actual amount spent by the Violent Crimes Compensation Board was only $92,000. And then in fiscal year 97, we authorized $380,000. I'm just asking why the large increase.
Have to do with the miscalculation of the prisoners' PFDs?
The change in the amount available from permanent fund dividend does have to do with the PFD calculation, but the amount that goes out in terms of the compensation obviously relates to what victims need to be compensated for, and I don't know enough of the details of the flow of that and what size requests there have been from year to year.
Madam Chair?
But it's not a straight line kind of a situation in terms of projection.
The Public Safety Subcommittee recommended the same numbers as the House recommended. We didn't know there was a problem. There'd be no way to get to this if there wasn't a difference in the Senate budget. I guess could I make a formal motion at this time, or do you want to?
Yeah.
I've moved that we send our action in failing to adopt DPS number 7.
The motion is to rescind our action in failing to adopt Department of Public Safety number 7. Is there objection to that motion? Hearing none, Department of Public Safety number 7 is back before us. Is there debate? Senator Sharp.
I still would like more information on this. It went up 400% from 96 to 97. Apparently, the governor's amended wants to fund it to the same level as FY 97. And if they're out of money now, this isn't going to do any good this year. This is just increasing it for next year.
Senator Sharp, I would be.
Did the department request OMB to put in a supplemental request for the board?
No, I didn't receive any supplemental request for this item. And as I say, I can't speak to why we didn't get the information any sooner about the current amount available. What I could do is, if you're keeping this open for a conference discussion, I could then get some further information from the department, both about the caseload, which would address your question, Senator Pierce, and timing issues in terms of getting the information.
Kennedy, for a moment. Finance Committee, please come back to order.
We had
the final department for amendment is education.
Madam Chair.
Senator Donnelly.
I think we still had my motion on BPS.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're right.
But I, you with the chair, I'd ask unanimous consent withdraw that motion.
Hearing no objection, that motion on Department of Public, well, actually, Department of Public Safety number 7 was before us. We don't have to move it again, but Senator Donnelly, do you have an amendment?
Yeah, okay, if it's still before us and I have amendment to reduce the amount from 168 to 84 and to add intent language that the legislature will consider a supplemental request from the Victims Compensation, Victims Crime Compensation Board for additional funds if the FY 89 appropriation is insufficient.
Does everyone understand the amendment? Is there Senator Parnell?
I really do not like that going in intent language, but can we divide the question on intent language, or can we just move it separately?
We can do either one. The question would be, actually, he's made a motion to amend Department of Public Safety number 7. I suppose that motion is divisible.
I would move to divide the question.
I don't object to dividing the question.
Senator Donnelly.
I'll just speak to the motion. I think there has been a problem this year in that they haven't come back to us in a timely manner and told us there was a problem. And this would clarify to them that next year, if they're running low on funds, that it should be part of the supplemental process. And, you know, we should get some warning of that before April. I mean, my understanding is the Office of Management and Budget didn't know there was a problem either. And they could show the intent language to the board and say, you got to give us notice in time to request a supplemental for you if you've got a problem.
Okay. We rescinded our action failing to adopt Department of Public Safety number 7. Senator Donnelly made a motion to amend Department of Public Safety number 7, which was before us. Senator Parnell has moved to divide the amendment. So we will first vote on amendment to Department of Public Safety number 7A, which is the dollar amount, and the new dollar amount is $84,000 general funds. EPS number 7, amendment A. Does everybody understand the question? Is there objection to amendment A? Hearing none, the dollar amount has been adopted. The second motion was the intent. Senator Donnelly, could you please restate the intent?
That the legislature will consider a supplemental request from the Victims Crime Compensation Board for additional funds if the FY 98 appropriation is insufficient.
Does the secretary have that? More or less. So is there objection, Senator Parnell?
Next year.
Senator Parnell.
I think the language there says that if it's insufficient, this is a program where victims apply for compensation, and there has always, as I understand it, there have always been more applications than what we've been able to fund. And basically, this is a program where the commission has to make a determination on which ones to fund throughout the year, and do it at a rate that they will not consume or over-consume the money that's been appropriated. So I think the amendment is that Part A clearly increases the total amount of funds that are going to be available in FY 98 over FY 97 for crime victims. And I also think that the Crime Victims Compensation Board knows full well that if they can justify a supplemental, that they can come back without us putting intent language in that is a broad open invitation for a supplemental based on the open wording that's in there. I would oppose the intent language.
Okay. Who's objection to the intent language, Senator Sharp?
I would object because it would totally negate them doing, having much incentive to screen the applicant, stamp approval, come back for supplemental.
Further discussion? You ready for the question? We have before us is Amendment B to Department of Public Safety number 7. It is the intent language. All those in favor of the intent language signify by raising your hand. All those opposed? The motion fails on a 3-4 vote. The affirmative votes were Senator Adams, Senator Donnelly, Senator Pierce. We have before us now an amended Department of Public Safety Amendment number 7. Is there discussion? The question is, shall the amended Department of Public Safety number 7 amendment be adopted? All those in favor, please signify by raising your hand. Anyone opposed? The motion carries on a 6-1 vote. The dissenting vote was Senator Sharp. Okay, let's go to the Department of Education, please. Senator Adams, Amendment number 1.
I object.
There is objection, Senator Adams.
My amendment restores the $70,100 in general funds museum operations. We all know that the Alaska Museum includes both facilities in Juneau and Sitka, but it serves museums, schools, and students statewide. It's an active outreach program, ensures that the museum offers a statewide program with the goal of making cultural and historical resources available to all citizens. There is only one conservatory in the state, and this position supports efforts not only in small museums around the state, but also provides assistance to the Anchorage Museum of Art and History and to the University of Fairbanks Museum of Memory. That's the reason I am putting this amendment before you.
Senator Donnelly.
Madam Chair, there was no great reason for this reduction other than we felt the museum could deal with a 5% reduction, and this is only 5% of their GF. And additionally, we gave them authority to increase their program receipts, and there's a proposed intent language that deals with that.
Senator Phillips.
Isn't it supposed to be $67,000? I mean, that's all the letters and POMs, everything, mentioned 67 point something.
What it does is there's a funding source change from general fund to general fund program receipts in an amount of $3,700 from that 67. That would get up to the number of 70.9. That's what it is.
Any discussion? Senator Phillips.
So just to repeat what Senator Donnelly said, about a 5% reduction in that.
In their GF.
GF, in their GF.
Right.
And that you're suggesting that they would make it up through program receipts by this $1 extra charge for out-of-state?
I'm suggesting they can make some of it up. I doubt that they'd be able to make all of it up, but we're giving them the leeway to attempt to make it up.
Further discussion? Question is, shall education amendment number 1 be adopted? Those in favor, please signify by raising their hand. All those opposed? Motion fails on a 1-6 vote. Senator Adams with the affirmative vote. Senator Adams.
Madam Chair, I move amendment number 2.
Is there objection? I would object for discussion, Senator Adams.
This is in the Alaska State Library. It restores 299,000 of general fund. It has to do with the library development section. It restores the six positions within the library system. 70 of 85 public libraries up in the state are managed by people with no professional training. Many of them have little or no education beyond high school, yet they must manage a budget, select, order, and catalog library materials, answer reference questions, develop and present programs, and offer computer access to the internet. Many of these libraries are staffed by volunteers and have very limited resources. For most of these people, and they, public they serve, the only available for them is that they get technical training from this library development staff. And the library development staff is counted in the state library's maintenance of an effort of the federal library's services and technical. We estimate that this loss of $299,100 in general fund will also result in a loss of approximately $150,000 of federal funds. And that's what I am placing this amendment to restore the state position in the library program section.
Senator Donnelly.
Most of the areas of the education budget, we were looking at losses of 3, 4, 5, 10 to 1 in federal funds for state dollars. This was the spot that we could cut and lose the least federal funds. It's a nice program for the state to be in, to be training all the librarians in the state. And if we had lots of money and we didn't have a budget reduction goal, I'd say we should continue to do it. But it was just one of the hard decisions the subcommittee made. If the full committee wants to go above the cap here, I guess they can.
Further discussion? All those in favor of education amendment number 2, please signify by raising your hands. All those opposed? Motion fails on a 2-5 vote. The affirmative votes for Senator Torgerson and Senator Allen.
Torgerson likes to live.
Senator Adams.
Chair, move amendment number 3.
There is objection, Senator Adams.
I'm going to take too long with this. This trying to restore $593,000 of general fund. We all understand the whammy medical education that is provided in the state of Washington. I believe that this program benefits will be lost to Alaskans that want to go into the medical field, and that is the reason I am submitting this amendment to this committee.
Senator Donnelly.
Chair, this is another very difficult decision the committee made. Certainly there's support for the WAMI program. It's a program that has merit. We were flat faced with trying to meet a budget reduction, and given the choices we were faced with, the committee decided this was the least painful of the very painful options we were faced with. The full committee should know that the House numbers are very problematic in the major components of education, and we had a request from the chair on the House side to restore a lot of the money that they had cut, and we did do that to avoid a tremendous loss of federal funds, and that made it even more difficult for us to meet our budget reductions because the Senate numbers need to be taken by the conference committee and those other major components. I certainly don't have anything against WAMI. It was just a difficult choice we had to make.
Further discussion, Senator Phillips.
Just a question. Under your pull this budget, Senator Donnelly, you allow for a phase out of this program, right?
This is about...
For the current students.
Right, this is about one-half the current funding. The problem is, while all the contracts are, include language subject to appropriation, so we don't have a contractual problem with this. The contracting authority is the Post-Secondary Education Commission, and they have the authority to determine how they would use this money, and they would have to negotiate that with the University of Washington. So they could decide to either reduce the amount of the subsidy per student or reduce the number of students they subsidize, but we couldn't, like, dictate to them exactly how to do it.
I'm on the commission, so I'll watch this.
It's going to be difficult.
Further discussion? All those in favor of education number three, please signify by raising your hand. All those opposed? Motion fails on a 1-6 vote. The affirmative vote was Senator Adams. Senator Adams.
I will be holding number four for more information. Has to do it. Can be divided. Has to be connected across groups that have the Alaska Vocational Technical Center. I have the Kotzke Technical Center operations minus my side is increasing, not increasing, but putting back the funds of $317,000. We in contribute PR tuition and PR contributions in the amount of $320,000. As I stated the other day, our tuitions come from not only from the Minnick Association, ABCT, Corps, Tenachi, TUSCRA, and various village corporations in the amount of $100,000. We also get $80,000 from Flamingo, JCTA, $100,000, Northwest Arctic Bureau, $10,000, the village corporation of Prosperity, $10,000, and donation to help with this tuition in the amount of $20,000 from the city of Kotzke, OGC, and the Electric Association of Crawley. And basically, when we started this program in general funds, we had in the neighborhood of $1.9 million. We are down to $634,000. So we've already gone through the tuition process. And it's one of those areas that we train in different courses there in Kotzke. We do it in four primary programs. They are the industrial business technology. We offer five courses in this. It has to do with construction. We offer it in electric, plumbing, heating, in health occupation. The basic health technology, certified nurses aid, and medical technology. We offer office occupations, and that include accounting clerk, secretarial, and clerk reception. And now we've added to the program industrial mine maintenance. It's a pre-apprentice millwright. And also we provide short courses that include various education, CDLs, and many small courses. But one of the things that when we train people in Kotzke, and our main work location in our particular area is Red Dog. Red Dog provides most of our employment. However, with Red Dog, after the training is completed, what we do is we pass, hopefully pass on some of the money around the state of Alaska, and I have here your election districts, and some do very well in it and some don't, but whatever vendors that we can use in Alaska, we try to do that. I'll just pass it around so different members can look at it and see their respective districts on how training in my district, that money is used over and over. It goes to training, economic development, and back into various agencies. Districts to help along with those. So I will, Madam Chair, hold this until you get that information that is requested regarding the tuition in my respective district costume.
Attorney Torgerson.
Thank you. I just want to continue on with that a little bit. I did request from Budget and Audit, or from Lead Finance, that they compare the amount of tuition that comes into AvTech to the university, because this is one of the standards that the subcommittee chairman had held the AvTech to, and the Kotzebue had said you need to be bringing in at least as much tuition as the University of Alaska. And I agree with that, and so anyway, I had requested that Lead Finance put together some numbers, and I did not request AvTech in my, or not AvTech, but Kotzebue in my original request to them, and they're trying to get that information. We're guaranteed we'll have it by tomorrow morning, and we'll be able to compare the university and the other two entities to see what their actual tuition is. I did have handed out to you what AvTech is compared to the university, and you'll notice that AvTech's about 3% higher than in tuition costs than or collections than what the University of Alaska is. So if that was the standard that we were being held to, I believe that these two entities are already met that standard, and with that, I'll be withdrawing an amendment that I have a little later on until we get all the information in so we can compare all of these on the same scale.
Okay, education amendment number 4 is not being offered. Senator Phillips.
Looking at this list, Senator Adams, I don't have anything in my district. Does that mean I have to vote no on your amendment?
You need more vendors in your district.
Senator.
Annex Anchorage.
Senator Adams?
Yes, Madam Chair. I move amendment number 5.
All those object.
There is objection. Senator Adams.
This one is close to me. It's where I graduated from high school. It's the Montedson boarding school. Basically, I'm trying to secure the level back to what it should be of 229,100. We all know where Mount Edgecum is in, at Sitka, and basically the chairman of that subcommittee is looking for the students to pay for a tuition of $1,100 per student, of which 900 happens to be the tuition, 100 for activities, and 100 for transportation. Many of the students that go there do not have the financial ability to come up with the $1,100. And as I stated the other day, looking at 4% of students qualify for food and lunches. And one of the things that we need to do is get more information over there. And the applications for next year's enrollment has already been in, and the closing date. I think we should wait. I wouldn't mind when we return from next session is taking the chairman of this subcommittee and going over to Mount Edgecum, and perhaps without the names is going through the income level of students there. However, he does have a case for tuitions for people that send their kids because they know what quality of education this is, and sometimes a superintendent from a different school district would send his child there, or a teacher. And they can afford to pay for that, but I'm hoping that the senator would wait a year, go over to Mount Edgecum with me to this school and see the value of keeping the level of funding that's necessary.
Madam Chair, this was another difficult choice forced on the subcommittee by our budget cap. I do think with the new information that I would support a slower phase-in of program receipts here. The subcommittee there's some proposed intent language that clarifies that we don't expect those parents who could afford to pay, and also that only those folks who are in the areas that have their own high school. So this is an elective choice that they're making. The budget and audit reports that we reviewed at the beginning of the year identified
Mount Edgecombe is a very expensive program the state does. It's not constitutionally mandated. That's and recommended it be phased out. There's a lot of history here, a lot of emotion involved. I know. I don't think I'm ready to recommend that it be done away with, but I would like to move towards increasing some revenue there because it is a real privilege, I think, for parents to be able to send their children here, and those that can pay should pay, I think, because it is a very expensive program for the state, above and beyond what the foundation formula provides. So with that, I'd propose an amendment to, on the delete, to reduce that to 100,000, in other words, changing GF, only 100,000 of GF to GF designated, and to, under the restore, change the 299.1 to 199.1. so that we'd have sort of a pilot program receipts project going on there, but only 100,000, and also to recognize that we have pretty much full funding in the House numbers here, so the conference committee would have some options.
Madam Chair.
There is an amendment that has been offered to Education Number 5, just a second. Senator Adams, do you have the amendment numbers? Okay. Senator Adams.
The amendment to the amendment, I will not be objecting to it until I have a chance from now till then to get new data on the income level. But if we're going to do this to, if we're going to do this to kids in education, then we're going to be looking at other state programs around the state of Alaska. If we're going to do it to kids, we should be doing it to people.